I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the most famous question in all of sports. Do you believe in miracles? Al Michaels asked it 40 years ago this Saturday, and Jack O'Callaghan is one of those who made sure the answer was yes.
We were a great hockey team. We had great players, and we were really good, you know, and we were fit, and we were young, and we were hungry, and we were probably too stupid to realize that we were playing over our heads.
Way over. USA Hockey 4, four-time defending Olympic champion USSR 3 in the medal round at the 1980 Winter Olympics, the miracle on ice.
The memories of the game, I couldn't tell you who made what pass. I know Rizzioni scored the winner, and Mark Johnson got a bunch of goals, but for the most part, it's just been 40 years of fun conversations with people, and it's just... Probably the most enjoyable part of that experience.
Johnson did score twice. Buzz Schneider got one in from 50 feet away. Michael Ruzioni had the game winner with 10 minutes left, and Jim Craig withstood a barrage in goal. But if ever there was a game where the whole mattered much more than the sum of its parts, this was it.
We knew it was pretty special to a lot of people, and we knew it was something that the country needed, and it just pulled the country together, and it's just been a great experience for a lot of people.
Cold War-era tensions turned a game into a test of superpowers. The puck dropped just 2 months after the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, after all. The U.S. would eventually boycott the 1980 Summer Games in Moscow, and the USSR would do the same for the 1984 Games in Los Angeles. But in February 1980, in a tiny village in New York, and especially for a group of college kids, that all seemed a world away.
Being in Lake Placid was a really special place. It's always been our home. It's just a real comfortable place for us. And it was great to be there, a little cocoon. But once we got down to D.C., we came back to the real world.
Where O'Callaghan and his teammates found themselves having lunch with the president and on the cover of Sports Illustrated and hailed as heroes, praise that's followed them ever since.
I've bought my own beers. Yeah, I take care of that. I'm pretty good about taking care of myself. But people are very nice. And that's been really, I've been able to experience that. People are really nice to me when we start talking about the miracle on ice.
Millions of people watched the game on TV, but on tape delay. It wasn't broadcast live, so only the players, the coaches, the 8,500 fans at the Olympic Center, the arena staff, and the credentialed media actually saw the miracle on ice live. One of those media members, our own Dave Kerner, a college kid himself back then. Dave shared his memories with our George Hoffman, who was one of an estimated 35 million glued to their couches later that night.
I watched the game on television. That's great. But you one-upped me. You were there.
Yeah, I one-upped you. I was there by almost a fluky circumstance. Went to Syracuse University, about a three-hour drive from Lake Placid. And our radio station, a good year out, decided, let's apply for credentials for the Placid Olympics, which we probably couldn't even begin to do today. Back then, we could. But what we let the media people know at the time was we had accommodations up there, which were very scarce. You know, had we said, well, we don't have any place to stay, we're applying for credentials, I don't think there's any way we would have gotten anything. But we did. We got a lot of credentials, and because I happened to be the sports director of what was WAERFM, that was the Syracuse University station, I was able to make the call that I could attend the U.S.-Russia, U.S.-Soviet Union Olympic game. The Miracle on Ice, again, of course, won by the U.S., and they had to beat Finland 2 days later to clinch the gold medal.
What was it like being there?
Well, the one thing that stands out to me is just the constant noise. You know, the building only held about 8,000. And interestingly, the U.S. failed to fill all the seats for the earlier preliminary round games. But when it came down to playing the Soviet Union, you know, this Goliath-like opponent. Every seat filled, just constant noise. Even during the intermissions, it was like nuts. And the flags everywhere, of course, once the U.S. had actually sealed the win. And really, what a win it was, because they took the lead with 10 minutes left in the third period. So here it is, the Soviets, you know, coming at them any way possible, and the U.S. having to hold them off for 10 minutes to win that game. 10 minutes, it seemed like 10 years.
You know, it's funny because going back 40 years, you have to kind of jog your memory. And, you know, where was I? I was home watching the game. And it dawned on me as I started looking back, the U.S. had played the Soviets 2 weeks before that in an exhibition game. And as it turns out, I was there.
You were at Madison Square Garden.
I was at Madison Square Garden.
That?
I was visiting some friends of that I had made from Sports Phone, mm-hmm. including Gary Cohn, the voice of the New York Mets.
Right.
And as I looked at the score, I remembered the only game I ever saw at Madison Square Garden was the U.S. and the Russians. Yeah. And it took that long for me to remember. There was a buzz, obviously, in the crowd. That was the old Madison Square Garden, some 19,000 people, and the game was a rout. And I said, wait a second, I did see a game.
Yeah.
I didn't see the game that took them to the gold medal, but I saw a game and I said to myself, well, they don't have a chance. And obviously you saw them and they had a great chance.
Yeah, the Soviets won that game in New York. I believe it was 10-3.
10-3.
So you're going into this tournament and then here they are playing the Soviets again. And you're thinking, well, why is this going to be any different from New York? But the reasoning was at the time the Americans were conditioned well enough that you thought, okay, they can skate with the Soviets for 60 minutes, which they were able to do. They needed, of course, a couple of breaks. They got a couple of late goals. Vladislav Tretiak, of course, the world-class goalie, actually got pulled by the Soviets in the middle of the game because he gave up a couple of goals that the coach, I think it was Viktor Tikhonov, considered bad goals. And that just seemed to help the U.S. cause all the more.
Think about it, because there was a Cold War then between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. So the fact that the
still
U.S.
going on.
The U.S. won the game was such an extraordinary event back home.
Yep.
People were celebrating it as if it was the gold medal game, and a lot of people realize it wasn't the gold medal game. In order to win the gold medal, the U.S. had to come back the next 2 days, and they wound up beating Finland 4-2. And I remember watching that game at home, and what great pride we all had.
Yeah.
I mean, we were in our 20s that the United States, this hockey team that no one expected to beat the Russians, did so, the Soviets, and then went on and beat Finland. And those players are forever etched in our memories, from Jim Craig to Michael Ruzioni to Jack O'Callaghan to the coach Herb Brooks. Right. Then they'd made a movie out of it. And for people who
weren't... Couple of movies.
Oh, yeah. People who weren't born then, or maybe 45 or even 50, may not remember that game. But it was such a monumental upset, and on top of that, such a great feeling for those Americans.
And think about this, too. You know, the Soviets had basically dominated the world hockey stage for about 20 years at that point. Most of the decade of the 60s and the 70s, they controlled it. This was still the era of, at least from the U.S. point of view, no pros playing. These were collegians, maybe some journeyman minor leaguers in there, guys that had played for Herb Brooks because he was a college coach. It was really that collection of people playing Soviet players who were essentially professionals, and that's all they did 12 months out of the year. And for 60 minutes, they made it happen.
Right. You're exactly correct. They were a machine. They were almost like insurmountable to beat. And it kind of reminds me that it's 8 years after the U.S. lost the controversial game to the Russians in basketball that maybe this was their get even, was to watch this group of players. And then at the end of the game with Jim Craig wrapped around the American flag. Oh, gosh, what a vision that was. I mean, we're both very lucky, me having seen the game prior, and then, of course, just being able to watch the games on TV and you being able professionally to cover it.
Yeah, it was a thrill, you know. And also consider this. It was, I think, a 5 o'clock Eastern time start. ABC was saving the game for prime time. So we're actually seeing it and obviously getting the full picture of it before pretty much all of the U.S. gets to watch it,
I don't think they telecast the entire game.
I don't recall exactly how much of that game was on that Friday night. The Finland game, the game for the gold medal, that was on in its entirety because it was played in the middle of the day. I think it was before closing ceremonies, actually. But
that's right.
The Soviet game, that was a different story.
Bottom line, Dave, it's 40 years ago and we're just getting older.
We are very old.
WBBM's Dave Koerner and George Hoffman. After the miracle, many of the Team USA stars continued their careers in the NHL, which Jack O'Callaghan says was kind of a miracle in itself.
You know, Americans didn't play in the National Hockey League. So we were flashes in the pan. We were in college. We were all good players. But we never got a shot to play in the NHL. It was run by Canadians, and they all looked at Americans. They looked down at us. And so what we really did is, from a hockey perspective, was we show the world and we show these NHL people that Americans could actually play hockey. We're pretty good at it. And I think all through the 80s, what we did was kind of blew up that glass ceiling and created a lot of opportunities for the next generations of American hockey players.
O'Callaghan spent 6 years as a Blackhawk, and when he returned to the United Center this week to drop the puck in a ceremonial faceoff, he made sure to lean a little on the side of former Team USA captain Patrick Kane and not Artemi Panarin.
Well, you know, I saw a Russian and an American, you know, facing off, and I was like, there's not a chance I'm even going to risk this guy, this Russian, winning that draw. So I kind of looked at Kaner, and I just fired it through his legs, and he just kind of started laughing. But, I mean, I'm sure he expected it, you know. I mean, even though we're generations apart, we're still teammates.
Panarin took the slight in stride. Coach Herb Brooks died in a car accident in 2003, and defenseman Bob Suter suffered a heart attack in 2014. But the rest of the members of Team USA are still around. O'Callaghan says they get together once or twice a year, including this weekend in Las Vegas, where the Golden Knights are hosting Florida and holding a celebration in their honor. 18 members of the 80 team will be there, grayer perhaps, but draped in red, white, and blue. Rick Gregg, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.